This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
Hello and welcome to the Rush Marconi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mighty Year 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Friday as we head into the weekend. Let's welcome in the man himself from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
Doing good, Arash. The Lakers have a new coach. How about that?
Finally. It took them quite a while. They had to wait till the finals were done. They did end up with a coach that we had really heard about throughout this process. There was that weird four-day period where they not only were infatuated with Dan Hurley, they offered him the job. But they end up with J.J. Redick, who's never coached before. But again, I think we all think that he will be a good coach at some point. Again, this is his first time coaching. What are your initial thoughts on JJ as a head coach?
I think he's going to be a pretty good head coach. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of talk about him being a podcaster and him, you know, that's all he's done. Look, this guy was a player. I think people forget, like, okay, yeah, he was a podcaster for the past, 2 years, but he played a long, long career in the NBA and knows a lot of people and knows how locker rooms work and knows how player connections work with the coach. You know, I've been reading a lot of things on social media about his prior podcast appearances where he's talked about trying to get into coaching. And he said, like, he's taken so many cues and so many experiences from the coaches that he's had and wants to implement that into what he wants to do as a coach. So, you know, I understand people's pushback to where it's, oh, he doesn't have any experience. Yes, that is a thing. And it's going to take him a little bit of time to get acclimated, which is why I think bringing in a veteran staff with former head coaches is the right idea. But in terms of what JJ wants to do, there are reports already that in his meetings with the Lakers that he wants to use LeBron off the ball more, which I have been saying for so long. And that's just to keep him fresh. Like, you don't want him handling the ball all the time. You don't want him being at the forefront of everything in the offense. You want to use him sparingly because he's 40 years old. He's going to be 40 years old. So that was a really good point that I found. Also, they're going to get Anthony Davis the ball in the fourth quarter. Arash, you and I both watched a lot of these games against the Nuggets in the past 2 years. Anthony Davis disappeared down the stretch in a lot of those games, and it was like, hey, this guy had 30 and 20 almost, and you're not getting him the ball. That's a big emphasis for him also. And I think this has just been the philosophy for the Lakers front office, not just JJ, but they're going to try to develop Max Christie, Austin Reeves, and Rui Hachimura, because those three guys they see as their young core. And I agree, Max Christie shot over 40% from three last year. Rui Hachimura had a great playoffs, not last year, but the year before that. And we all know how good Austin Reeves is. So I think the philosophy's there. And I've seen a lot of people say this, and I've looked at what a lot of Laker fans are saying as well, is that I think it's just good to do something different, right? They've been doing the same thing for a long time. Yeah. Just go out of the norm and try something. Like, why not? You know, I've kind of warmed up to that idea because, you know, JJ is a brand new head coach. I get that. And like I mentioned, it's not going to be all, you know, rose tinted lenses for the first couple games or for the first couple months, maybe not even the first half of a season. But I think that when you get a guy as smart as JJ, who knows the ins and outs, he knows all the dynamics of the game. He played at a very high level. He's one of the best shooters this game has ever seen as a player. He knows how to relate, and he's only retired, what, 3-4 years ago? So he knows a lot of the players, and he knows to connect to this modern era. So I think with all the options they had left, I think he was the best option anyways. And I'm actually pretty excited to see how it goes. I know that the Lakers and Clippers have a big rivalry, but I'm just excited to see how he manages everything and what kind of staff they put around him.
It's a great point. I got to cover JJ when he was with the Clippers, and he was one of my favorite guys to talk to because, I mean, he was so intuitive and he loved talking about the game and he loved talking about strategy. And again, you really see that in his podcast, and I really enjoyed checking out the podcast that he did with LeBron. And again, I've been watching it, but now rewatching it with the mindset of like, this could be the future head coach of the Lakers, sitting down with LeBron. Amazingly, Grant, I mean, they begin that podcast at the end of March, I think. And basically you give fast forward to now in June, he's the head coach of this team. And so there's been a lot of talk about, did they have any idea that this would happen? Did they think that this could happen? But the biggest thing that you want to have is that you want a coach that when he walks through that door, that LeBron trusts him, that Anthony Davis and these players trust him. And I do think that trust is there. Again, this is rare, again, to not have to bring in a coach with no prior experience, but one of the best coaches in league history. You know, when you look at Steve Kerr, again, he took over a team that was basically built for long-term success with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. But the coach he took over, same thing. Mark Jackson did not have any prior coaching experience. So, I mean, it's not like this hasn't happened. You have had situations where it hasn't worked out, like Steve Nash, Derek Fisher, but Jason Kidd was another one, went straight from, you know, former player to head coach. So, you know, it's not like it hasn't been done. It is rare, but the Lakers really like the upside of JJ, and they like the fact that obviously there's a connection with LeBron. They like the fact that a lot of these guys really like the way that his mind works. As you watch his podcast, Grant, and again, having watched him very closely with the Clippers, you know, what have you liked about his philosophies of the game? You've touched on it, but what do you think can work with this team?
I think it's his attention to detail. He's detail oriented down to the last fine mark of a pen and paper. This is a guy that even in his playing career, like he's mentioned how meticulous he was about everything that he did. And like you mentioned, and you covered him for a good amount of time, like he's so integrated into the game of basketball to where he knows guys' tendencies, he knows guys' spots, he has an entire catalog of plays to run that he's learned over the years. I mean, even going back to his time with Coach K, and that's another big part of it that not a lot of people are talking about, is that he played under Coach K, and Coach K is one of the best coaches of all time. And there were reports that Coach K was integrated into this Lakers hiring process as well. So I know that he had some input there. He has played under Doc Rivers, who, look, you can say what you want about Doc Rivers. He's one of the most known coaches in all of basketball. Players respect him. Mm-hmm. Coach K, players respect. So he's played under some of the best coaches that we've had. And just his intricacies to the game. I mean, even watching this pod, you can tell like how... It's not just really the numbers and the X's and O's. He really enjoys it, right? There's a lot of coaches that, you know, they don't really enjoy doing all of the dirty work and all of the game planning and all that stuff. And I think JJ really enjoys that type of thing. And he really takes note of what players like. He really likes to connect to the players in a way that I think that a lot of older head coaches don't really understand. And I think that's the biggest part here is that JJ is actually the same age as LeBron.
Yeah.
And he just, like I mentioned, he just retired a few years ago. So he knows the modern game. He knows how the modern game is played. He knows how to relate to some of the players that are already in the NBA right now. So I think that's a big factor when we're taking that we're not taking in with this JJ hire is that he was a recent retiree. So he knows about a lot of the analytical stuff. He knows about a lot of the way the game's played and the spacing and the five out offenses and the 3-point game. And like I mentioned, he was a great shooter himself. So, and what have the Lakers needed for a while? Shooting. So he knows how to get guys in his spots. And not just that, last thing is that he was so hard on himself. Yeah. And I know that he'll be hard on the players as well. He's going to get the best out of some of those players like Austin Reeves. I feel like this is a great pairing for him because, you know, JJ has said on multiple occasions that he is an a-hole. And so Austin Reeves has mentioned that too when he went on to his podcast. So I think that duo is going to be pretty cool. And I think that he can get the best out of players. He can bring like maybe a little bit of a hard mentality because, you know, that was the thing with Dan Hurley. A lot of people are like, oh, well, he's going to bring this tough, tenacious attitude. JJ Redick, I know he's not to that level of Dan Hurley, but he still was a tough player when he played. Yeah. He didn't take anything from anybody.
Exactly. And you brought up his age, and he's the same age as LeBron James. The fact of the matter is Joe Mazzulla just coached the Celtics to a championship, and he's 35 years old. And again, Joe Mazzulla wasn't, played collegiately, but, again, he went the traditional route, but like, having a young coach is not the worst thing. In fact, in terms of, being able to, grab the attention of, and even the respect of younger players, that'll certainly help them. Do you think that this changes the makeup of the team? Again, there's been a lot of talk about D'Angelo Russell. What do they do with him? Again, I think this team will come back very similar unless they do anything crazy in terms of any big moves. But the roster makeup, again, Grant, we talked about how much we like this team on paper. And the fact of the matter is Darvin Ham did not play the lineups, did not play some of the players that we both thought should have played more. Does this change how this team looks? Again, on paper, you think that they have the talent. Do you think that they make any big changes?
I don't think big changes are in store for them. And there's a lot of talk about Trae Young and Donovan Mitchell and a lot of these players that, you know, are stars, right? They want to bring in a third star. I don't think that's the route they should go. LeBron has been very adamant about this. And I know that he's not going to play into their future plans because he's retiring in a few years, but he's been very adamant about the teams that win titles win with depth. They win with a lot of good players. Look at what the Celtics did. I mean, I know they have a great starting lineup. They had pretty good depth. They had guys like Peyton Pritchard come off the bench and make an impact. Sam Hauser come off the bench, make an impact. Tillman come off the bench, make an impact. So these teams that win titles, they have depth. And while this roster, I do think that that's the biggest concern here. I don't even think it's the head coach. I think the biggest concern for the Lakers is what are you going to do with this roster to improve it, to get to the level of OKC, to get to the level of Minnesota, to get to the level of Denver and some of these other teams like Dallas. They have to make some changes around the edges. And now look, I don't think that they can in one trade. I don't think that they can in maybe two trades. But if you can kind of mold that bench, mold this roster into something that is at least competitive and you keep those two guys healthy, because we saw Anthony Davis and LeBron be healthy for a majority of the year and they still were a 7 seed. So they need to make some changes to the end of that bench, maybe to that second unit, because I think their first unit's okay. Maybe if you bring in Taurean Prince again, he should be fine. He shot 40% from the 3-point line. He was pretty decent for the Lakers. But if you do something to that bench, you bring in somebody or a few players that are young, athletic. And I think we forget about this too, Arash. The Lakers have the 17th pick pick in the draft. That is a really, really good pick. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's talk about Bronny. I know that, but I think they're going to go in a different direction with that 17th pick. Now, if they want to trade it, okay. I think they should keep it and just draft a really nice young talent, because there is talent in this draft. It's gotten a lot of slack, but I think that this draft, you can find a good wing player, a good young athletic player, and you know, you can go from there, and then you have your core for the future after LeBron leaves, and I don't know when that will be, but I think LeBron's coming back, so you're going to have him back. The roster is okay. I don't know what they do with D'Angelo Russell, but again, like I mentioned, I don't think you need to go for the star package. You don't need to package Rui and Reeves and get a third star. I don't think that helps you. I think what helps them is just making it a more solid team, a longer team, a team with depth. And I think that's the direction they should go, especially when you have the 17th pick in the draft.
You know, the trade that the Clippers made when I was covering them that I thought would get them over the hump into the finals was when they traded for J.J. Redick and Jared Dudley. People forget that those guys were teammates on the Milwaukee Bucks before the Clippers traded for them. Again, you know, that was obviously the season of the Donald Sterling tapes, which we're seeing right now play out on Clipped. And I bring that up only because Jared Dudley is up to maybe be an assistant coach with J.J. Redick. Rajon Rondo is also up for a potential job. Kind of interesting, Grant. You know, I think back to kind of when the struggles for the Lakers began was when they were so quick to tear down a team that won a title in 2020. Again, people forget they didn't win the title, obviously, in June of 2020. They won it in October of 2020. Such a quick turnaround to the following season. And they just broke up that team so fast. You see what's happened with Caruso around. Obviously, he just got traded to the Thunder. Your thoughts on Jared Dudley and Rajon Rondo potentially being assistant coaches?
I think it would be great. I mean, I whenever Rondo was playing, especially later in his career, I just remember a lot of the players on the Clippers calling him Coach Rondo. Yeah. Like I remember he was wearing his mask, and I looked at his mask and it said Coach Rondo on it. And obviously this was when, you know, his playing time was diminished, but that was the year that the Clippers went to the conference finals and Rondo was a part of it. And especially with his time with the Lakers, I mean, we saw he won a title with the Lakers. He was instrumental in that title run in the bubble. Yeah. He was a maestro as a point guard. LeBron and Rondo have both mentioned that they would just stay up all night and watching film, and you know, they would say, hey, you take this coach, I'll take this coach, and we'll study him together. And it was just crazy to see that kind of chemistry. And now if you get that opportunity again as a coach, I think Rajon Rondo is going to be a great coach regardless. He may even be a head coach one day. So if you can grab him now and kind of mentor him along with J.J. Redick, as long as you get veteran guys around him. Like, look, Jared Dudley, he's been coaching for a few years now, so I consider him a veteran coach. Yeah. And he coached a team that went to the finals as well. I know he was another head coach, but a lot of the players respected him when he was a player with the Lakers, and a lot of people respect him as a coach with the Mavericks. So if you can pull him away, if you can pull Rajon Rondo away, and Rondo doesn't need to be a front of the bench guy, a row one guy, he can be a row two guy and help with a lot of other things. And if you're talking about veteran guys to go get, Scott Brooks can be one of those guys. Yeah. I know James Borrego's up for the Cavaliers job, and now the Pistons job is open, so that may not happen. But if he wants to accept to be a top assistant for the Lakers, that would be a good route to go. There are a lot of options for the veteran coaches around J.J. Redick. And I think that's the biggest thing here, because you got to surround him with guys with experience. And I know that Rajon Rondo doesn't have the experience, but much like J.J. Redick, he's very smart. So I wouldn't mind putting him on that coaching staff. And look, I think you can just go from there. You have your guy that is he's young in terms of coaching. He's very smart in J.J. Redick. You have a guy in Rajon Rondo that played at around the same time as J.J. Redick. So their chemistry could probably be pretty good. He already has chemistry with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So look, it is imperative that they get a veteran staff, but I think Rondo and Dudley can be really good assets to that staff.
Exactly. And I think people forget, you know, Jason Kidd was up for the Lakers job. He didn't get it. Frank Vogel got the job. And Kidd took a job as an assistant with the Lakers and really just proved himself to be such a great assistant coach, working well with Frank Vogel, where he got the head coaching job with the Mavericks, took Jared Dudley along with him. You know, Jared went from being, you know, essentially the 12th man to being a great assistant coach. And again, they go on to the finals this past season. All right, we're going to close out with this. This Paul George saga is just going to continue, and you've done such a great job on your social, really kind of telling folks what the Clipper fans think of this. The latest sort of report, rumbling, whatnot, is that he's not going to come back, or that he doesn't want to come back, and the team obviously doesn't want to give him a full max. The good news is, I mean, there may be a sign and trade option. We've talked about this before. This is probably best case scenario for the Clippers as they look to reshape the team, but if they can get a parting gift like Chris Paul gave them on his way out, that would be the best case scenario. Your thoughts on the latest with Paul George and the Clippers?
There's a lot that happened after our show last night, and the fact that Shams came out with this random report, and this is so funny because it happened where Paul George's comments about not wanting to win a championship as his priority on his podcast, all those comments came out yesterday, right? And we were all talking about it. And then literally like moments later, Shams brings out their support where it's like, hey, Philadelphia's interest has waned on Paul George and they're kind of looking at something else. And it's just so funny that those two coincided to where it's like, yeah, well, we actually want to win a title, Paul George, and I know we have a max slot, but Philadelphia is trying to win a title. So I think that kind of, it was just weird. I'm not going to say that they're out of it, but it's just weird that that happened. And then, you know, earlier today or last night even, you know, we got reports that Paul George would prefer a sign and trade to kind of control where he goes. And I think that's best case scenario for the Clippers, right? Because they're offering him under the max. That's what they're going to offer. I don't think they're going to budge on that. So he wants the max. If you can go to Orlando, if you can go to the New York Knicks and maybe get a package that way, I think that would benefit Paul George, and I think he's thinking about that. So what he would do is he would opt in and then just immediately request a trade, because that opt-in is a really large amount of money. So for the Clippers, obviously that would be as beneficial as possible. That would be best case scenario. I'm going to throw one trade out there that not a lot of people are talking about. To the Warriors. If he wants to go to the Warriors with Steph Curry, maybe they bring back Klay Thompson, I don't know. But the Clippers can get back Kuminga, Wiggins, Moody, maybe even. And that kind of restarts your, it retools your team a little bit. So that's one trade not a lot of people are talking about. Keep your eye on that. But other than that, man, I'm excited for the saga and I'm excited for free agency.
I love that deal. I love that deal a lot for both teams, right? With the Warriors, they have a short window. It gives them a player who's still kind of, you know, one of the best players in the league still, you know, top 20, 25 players. With Steph, Draymond make one more run. You get Klay back in Los Angeles with the young pieces. Love that. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve Karp, Brandon Deutsch to talk more about J.J. Redick and what this draft looks like. What are the Lakers going to do when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
Welcome back to the Rushmore Conzi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's welcome in from the Sporting Tribune, Steve Karp. Karpy, how are you doing?
Try to stay cool. It's going to be 107 in Vegas and going up to 112. So
I have a lot.
Well, summer is here, my friend.
I know. I have a lot to look forward to when we're hanging out there for the NHL Awards, NHL Draft. Let's start here. J.J. Redick, again, this has been rumored for quite some time, is now the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, what unique, however, not a first. You know, Steve Kerr had never coached before he took over the Warriors. Same with Mark Jackson, same with Jason Kidd, same with Derek Fisher. In fact, you know, again, not unique at all, but something that still kind of raises some eyebrows. He's 39 years old. Again, never coached before. Your thoughts on the Lakers hiring J.J. Redick?
I hope they could recreate Pat Riley for their sake. It's certainly a risk. Anybody who coaches LeBron James is going to be under the gun. And we have to, you know, we keep forgetting, you know, when we talk about anyone who can coach LeBron James, that person also has to coach 12 other people.
Yeah.
Not named LeBron James. So that's going to be a challenge in and of itself. Now, if you put some good staff together, you know, with some experienced NBA people on the bench with him, I think his chances of succeeding are, you know, greater. Not saying he will succeed, but his chances of making it work are indeed enhanced. So we'll see. He was a smart player at Duke. He was a smart enough player in the NBA to try to play within his means and what have you. So I'm not throwing this thing out as a total what the hell by Rob Pelinka. I think they did their homework. All that said, we'll see. You know, I think someone made a really good point the other day that if J.J. Redick gets the job, this is before he gets it, the very first thing he should do is be coaching the Lakers in the summer league in Vegas.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, just so he could get a little time on the bench and just start to kind of dip his toe into the coaching waters, if you will. I mean, it's, you know, it's a 10-day thing, and who knows if the Lakers will get beyond the round robin round and then the extra, you know, the playoffs, if you will. But I think it would be a good idea for him and his staff, whoever he hires, to get that experience under their belts as they, you know, look to October and fall camp.
It's such a great point because, again, I mean, he's never coached before. He's certainly going to be out in Vegas. I mean, all the coaches and the, you know, a lot of the players are. So, again, he hasn't even put a staff together yet. So, you know, why not just have a dry run during the summer league? So, like that idea, we'll see what they do there. You know, a lot's made often, Steve, about, you know, how young a coach is. You know, but Joe Mazzulla is 35 years old, just won a championship with the Celtics. You know, it really comes down to, do you have the respect of the locker room, the respect of the players? And as crazy as it sounds, I mean, this is the time that we're in 2024, Steve, where LeBron and JJ do a podcast together. They started doing it in March. You fast forward to June, and now he's his head coach. So, but at the very least, I mean, there's no way that they make this hire without talking to some of their key players. That I think at least gives JJ a chance for success, where like he's not just coming in as this golden child that the GM likes, but that the players don't believe in. It does seem like LeBron, you know, and a lot of the players do like him. You know, the fact that he you know, learned under Coach K in college, played for some, you know, great coaches in the pros, that gives him some chance for success. I do hope that, again, he signs a four-year contract. No coach since Phil Jackson's has coached the Lakers for more than three seasons. We've seen some coaches last 1 to 2 seasons. How key is it that the Lakers allow him to grow and develop?
Well, you bring up LeBron James, so let's start there. How much longer is LeBron James going to play in the NBA with the Lakers? If it's a short time in J.J. Redick's tenure, then I think J.J. has a chance to be at the to fulfill his 4-year deal. If it doesn't, then who knows? Might be another one and done, or 2 years, or whatever. And you know, I keep coming back to Frank Vogel, who won the championship, albeit in a bubble, and he was gone. You know, so even winning doesn't guarantee anything there. It makes you wonder what management in L.A. with the Lakers is really looking for when they do these coaching hires. I mean, yeah, they want to win, obviously, but it just makes you wonder how come they can't get it right with all their history and legacy and resources. And it's just a real head scratcher to me. I mean, you're there. I don't know what you think, but
no, I mean,
you probably have a theory that's very plausible.
You bring up a great point. I mean, the fact of the matter is that Frank Vogel was fired less than two calendar years, again, because they wanted in the bubble. You know, less than two calendar years after winning a championship, he gets fired. Less than 1 year after Darvin Ham took over a team that had not made the playoffs the year before, was a 13th seed at the trade deadline, coaches under the Western Conference Final. Less than a year after that, he's fired. So, I mean, there's no stability. You know, some people have blamed LeBron. Some people have blamed like unrealistic expectations. But we'll see. Again, JJ takes over a team that on paper, you know, should be a contending team, should be a team that's not in the play-in tournament. I don't know if they're a championship team. I think they have the potential to be a top four seed in the West. But is that enough for the Lakers fans? Is that enough to feed the monster of this, you know, championship expectation? You know, now that, so we'll see how that all that plays out. In other news, in Los Angeles, the Kings, so they made a couple of moves. First, they went back to their old logo. Again, they tweaked it somewhat, but this is the same logo that they had following trade for Wayne Gretzky. So back in 1988. To about, I guess, I want to say around 2000. They had that beautiful silver and black. So they're going back to that logo.
Yeah.
And they made a trade, Steve, for a goaltender that they really struggled to fill the huge hole left by Jonathan Quick, again, who was not quick by the time that they parted ways. But your thoughts on what the Kings have done?
Well, you know, it was very questionable what Rob Blake did in bringing Pierre-Luc Dubois to L.A. and then paying him the salary and giving him the term that he did. It looked as though it was a contract they could never get out from under.
Mm-hmm.
Yet here we are. So they were able to undo the mistake they made by getting Pierre-Luc to Washington, which needs somebody who could play alongside Ovechkin toward the end of his run. Maybe Ovechkin gets a fire lit under PLD. So we'll see. But getting Darcy Kuemper back into the Western Conference where he had success. Don't forget, he won the Stanley Cup with Colorado, 3 years ago. So I don't think he forgot how to play golf. And I think just getting that change in scene for the Kings, I think will help them going forward. Remember, it's a tough division. You got Vegas, you got Edmonton playing for the Cup, you got Vancouver. I mean, it's a good division, and they have to keep up. Because you know Vegas is going to do something in the next few days, right? Heading into the draft and free agency, whether it's keeping Marchessault, trading for Mitch Marner, moving Shea Theodore, whatever. Kelly McCrimmon's not standing pat. Vancouver continues to show that they're willing to spend money in order to stay competitive. Calgary moved off from Jacob Markstrom. So, you know, the Kings had no choice but to get involved and get, you know, to get in front of this early enough, I thought was good. The logo, whatever. You know, it's too bad they couldn't bring Gretzky back with the logo, but because he might still be able to play at his advanced age. But that being said, that's all marketing. I'm sure it'll be fine. And, you know, it'll give people a reason to buy more gear.
Another big move out in Las Vegas, Chelsea Gray, and you've touched on this. You wrote a great column about her return and what it'll mean for Las Vegas. Again, Steve, I mean, we know how hard it is to repeat and how really hard it is to three-peat. That is what Las Vegas is trying to do. But now that Chelsea Gray is back, I think we're going to really see that the team that they thought that they would have coming into this season. Your thoughts on the return of Chelsea Gray?
Long overdue, much needed. She's just, I've said it before, I've written it, she's an extension of Becky Hammond on the floor. And you could tell her mere presence gave this team a huge lift the other night against Seattle. They're playing Connecticut on Friday. It's a big game because if the Aces are serious about three-peating, they may have to face Connecticut in the NBA Finals, if not New York. So, very important game tonight at Michelob Ultra, sold out. Crowd is going to be into it. And I think as Chelsea gets reacclimated, you know, playing, getting herself into game shape and finding her shooting eye, she's always going to get better. And also, there's a sidebar to all this. She's a member of the Olympic team.
Yeah.
That's going to Paris. She needs to get her game sharp by the time the Olympics tip off late next month. So there's kind of a dual purpose to her return. Yes, the Aces definitely have missed her and need her, but Team USA is going to need her as well if they want to win the gold.
It's such a great point because I think when the team was announced, there was some question, you know, will Chelsea Gray be back? In fact, I mean, there was some question of, you know, would she be healthy by the time the Olympics rolled around? Right. Because there was some current concern about her coming back this season. So the fact that she's back now, it's June. She's got a full month plus to get in shape, to get ready to go to Paris for the Olympics. You know, the same has been the case with Kawhi. I mean, I think there's a feeling that he will be with Team USA and playing, right. But you know, that's obviously a big question.
Well, we'll know more in 2 weeks when Team USA men come to Vegas for training camp at the Mendenhall Center.
That's right.
On the UNLV campus, and we see Kawhi on the floor, you know, working out and getting himself ready. I believe Kawhi will be ready, and I think he's important for the men.
Yeah.
Just like Chelsea Gray is, his experience, his talent, his ability to adjust his game to other great players. I think that's going to be big for Steve Kerr as he tries to figure out his rotations and who best plays with who in given situations. Kawhi will be an important part of the Americans' quest to win gold in Paris, the men.
Exactly. Sure. Las Vegas has really proven itself to be an amazing sports town. And again, there was some questions. And again, you've been there for years in terms of, you know, can they support one professional team, two professional teams, three? And there, you know, people questioned that. I think the country really saw the support for the Vegas Golden Knights, but they made WNBA history this year. They have sold out all 20 of their home games. But not only that, Steve, at least two are going to be sold out at T-Mobile Arena. If you can speak to the significance of that and how the team has been able to really become so accepted by the community and the city.
Well, sometimes we forget how multicultural Las Vegas is as a city. You know, we have a vibrant African-American community that's been here for decades. We have a huge Latino and Asian community. We have a significant gay and lesbian community. You know, all kind of that factor into WNBA support. So, and also, obviously, we have plenty of families. You know, lots of young girls who aspire to one day maybe play basketball at a professional level. And so we have the perfect market for a WNBA team to survive and thrive in. The key, of course, has been the Aces' success on the floor. Without them winning, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
You would have downsized your building. You would have played at the Orleans or out in Henderson at the Lee's Family Forum, which is a wonderful building, but it's just too small for the Aces. you know, T-Mobile Arena, where they're going to play on July 2nd against Indiana, and you know who.
Yes, sir.
And also in September against Chicago with you know who.
Yeah.
You know, those are attractive kind of opponents to generate bigger crowds than even they're going to have tonight against Connecticut. So, yes, that is a big part of it, that the Aces keep winning, and they're fun to watch. And you know, you've been to games, you know what the in-game presentation's like. It's a fun experience. They do a lot of cool things. You know, the free pizza promotion and the giveaways and the high roller, you know, over 50 dance team, and just a lot of cool stuff that they do. And it's just a good environment. You can take your daughter, who's 8, 9, 10, to the game and not worry about her being offended by anything. You know, if you're a gay or lesbian couple, you feel comfortable going to games there. No one's going to, you know, look down on you for it. If you're African-American, especially, you know, if you're an older African-American in your 60s or so, you definitely feel at home. It's like watching your granddaughters play, you know, watching Asia Wilson and Chelsea and Jackie Young and you know, Alicia Clark, all the gals. So, yeah, it's a good city for it, and I'm not surprised that the WNBA is working here, especially given that Mark Davis is committed to making it work.
Yeah.
You know, he built a $40 million practice facility next door to the Raiders headquarters. It's the nicest one in the league, and it's certainly comparable to several, if not all, NBA practice facilities around their league. So, I mean, Chelsea even said the other night that if it hadn't been for having that nice facility to do her rehab and her stuff, she'd still be on the sideline. So there you go. That the willingness of Mark Davis to invest in women's basketball and women's sports in general, I think, says a lot.
Steve, let's close out on this. With the draft coming up and the awards coming up, you know, it just seems like, you know, Vegas is the city that a lot of these leagues want to have their events in. Crystal ball, and I know I'm doing this for like 60 seconds. What league comes to Vegas next? What league comes to Vegas next? Is it Major League Baseball or is it the NBA?
Oh, God. If Adam Silver would quit mentioning Mexico City every time, I'd feel really good about Vegas joining Seattle in the NBA come 2027 or 2028. You know, the A's, we'll see if they do indeed, you know, wind up here or not. But I'd like to think the NBA will be here at some point because it's just simply too good of a fit. You know, you talk about women's basketball being a good fit here. The NBA has proven it can work here between the Summer League, the Laker preseason, and the in-season tournament, which was a huge success here at T-Mobile. I mean, I don't know what much more Vegas has to prove to show it belongs in the NBA as a permanent member of the league.
Yeah, I mean, and you brought up such a great point that when they do put a team there, and if LeBron is part of that group or whatever, I mean, it has the potential to be the most popular professional sports team in town. So, again, we have plenty of time, but again, it is the hotbed of sports. It is the center of the sports world these days, it seems like, certainly with the draft and the awards and UFC coming up next week. Steve, you're the best. We'll have you back on next week. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again next week. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.